You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you had yourself a fun and exciting weekend. We are back into the week, which means the return of the Locked On Kings podcast, the return of the Locked On Podcast Network, the first full week of August. And as soon as we get through a couple more of these, we get into September, and you know what September means, the start of training camp. So we are excited to be working ever closer to that. The basketball season is still feels like it's so far away, right? But it's going to be coming up quickly. The start of football is right around the corner this week, the first week of the NFL preseason. So that'll hold us over a little bit until we get to the start of what is the best sport on the planet. That is the basketball, and the NBA is the greatest league in the world for all of professional sports. You know that, and that's why you pick to support the Locked On Podcast Network, the Locked On Sacramento Kings podcast, because we all know that maybe the records don't show it, but the Kings are the best franchise in all of professional sports. My name is Matt George. Welcome in. Again, I hope you had yourselves a safe and fun weekend. I got a good week in store for you. Today, a fun and different episode, but something we're going to try and do more in the future, especially for the remainder of this month. And then on Wednesday, I have a great guest in store for you. I told you who it is last week, and we'll talk about that more at the end of the show. If you want to get connected to the Locked On Podcast Network and to myself and Locked On Kings, all you have to do is go on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Nothing major happening for the Sacramento Kings over the weekend. The good news is, though, we expect in the coming days the NBA schedule, the 2018-2019 NBA schedule, will drop. It'll start with the Christmas Day and all the major holiday games, and then once the Kings release their full schedule, we're going to dive in detail into a full-on breakdown of this schedule, what we can expect, and then ultimately we'll go to our win predictions as well. I mentioned last week on the podcast, ESPN released their win predictions or win totals, and they pegged the Kings at 25. They had the Kings pegged at 27 last year, and the Kings nailed that dead on. So typically, they tend to be pretty close or pretty spot on, but I think 25 is a little too low for this Kings team. We're also going to have a good conversation at some point later in this week. Actually, we'll do it at the end of this show, throw it in there at the end. What to you is a successful season? That's something I put out on Twitter at the end of last week and over the weekend, so I'll pose it to you here at the end of this podcast, something for you to mull over and think about until Wednesday's podcast. But today I have a fun guest for you that I think you're going to enjoy. If you are an active Sacramento Kings fan on social media, especially on Twitter, you will know her name, Jill Adge. She is a amazing Kings fan, someone that I really look up to and I admire, someone who has been deeply ingrained in the Kings for quite a long time. You know, I'm very vocal about the fact that the Kings fan base is the fan base that I grew up in. And a large reason why I love not just the NBA, but sports in general, is because of the connection that I felt at a very young age with thousands of people. I mean, Arco Thunder was real, and those of you who experienced it in the early 2000s, that's what I grew up is with Arco Thunder. And that fan atmosphere, that camaraderie of thousands of people relentlessly rooting for a team, I experienced that tenfold growing up in Sacramento, and it's because of fans like Jill, who's going to be joining me here in just a little bit, that we have that atmosphere and we have that kind of reputation around the league as one of the loudest, most active, most excited, and fun fan bases to play in front of. Jill is one of many Kings fans on Twitter you can interact with on a night-by-night basis, day-by-day basis. Actually, they don't stop. They talk Kings year-round, so I've been wanting to get her on the podcast for a while, so she's going to be joining me while she's on her way driving up to Lake Tahoe. We recorded this back on Friday, so she was up for a vacation driving up there, so sometimes you'll hear some spotty signal dropping on and off. That just happens when you're driving up there into the mountains, but she's going to share her story of how she became a Kings fan, And she is going to share really everything that you need to know about why she is so dedicated to this franchise. And then she dives in deeper with some great analysis about what she likes and doesn't like about Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, the Summer League, what she expects from the Kings next year. Talks a lot about Dave Yeager as well. Jill is going to provide you with all of that and then some. So I hope you really tune in and enjoy this podcast. This is something that I'm going to be doing more and more here as we move on through the rest of this month. If you are a diehard Kings fan, someone who listens to this podcast and wants to share your opinions, your feelings, and your Kings story, not just to me off the air, but also on the air, send me an email, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, or shoot me up or hit me up on Twitter at @MattGeorgeKHDK. And I'm going to start gathering a group of fans that I'll call and we'll record 5-10 minute little blurb interviews, and I'll squeeze those in periodically throughout. We might have a dedicated podcast in a couple of weeks just to fan responses to this offseason, fan stories, and all of that. So if you want to be a part of that, let me know right now at @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Tell me a little bit about you and a blurb of your story. We'll get everything worked out and we'll try and schedule it out so we can have some firsthand fan interaction and fan takes and fan involvement right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Enough of me blabbing and wasting time. Let's get right in to this conversation that I had with Jill Adge. Again, you can follow her on Twitter at Jill Adge, A-D-G-E is how you spell her last name. Again, it's at Jill Adge. And I promise you, if you interact with her there, you're going to get more connected to this franchise. Jill is fantastic, and she is just the gateway to so many wonderful Kings fans that I get the privilege of interacting with on social media on a nightly basis. So here is my conversation that I had with Sacramento Kings superfan Jill Adge. I'll be playing that for you right after this quick break. You know, there are few people on this planet that I would consider beyond my level of fandom of the Sacramento Kings. Many of you know that I grew up a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings organization. My uncle was a season ticket holder, and I had the blessing and the curse of being able to grow up with the 2000 Kings, and the 2001-2002 years were right where I really started getting interested in the game of basketball. And it was easy because you had those really phenomenal Sacramento Kings teams, the greatest show on court. They called it that for a reason. They taught me how basketball should be played and how it was supposed to be played. So I was spoiled growing up as a kid, getting to watch and be a fan of those early 2000 Kings. Obviously, it's been a rough road since, but if someone can rival my level of fandom or even take it up a notch, it is my guest joining me right now, Jill Adge. She's made the rounds of a lot of local Sacramento Kings podcasts. You can hear her on with Sacktown Royalty all the time. She is a phenomenal, phenomenal fan, very active on Twitter and on social media. I highly encourage you to follow her and engage her in conversations, Kings conversation, if you don't already. She even plays video games with Jack Cooley, believe it or not. We're going to be talking about that and so much more. Jill, nice enough to join us on a drive up to Tahoe. I hope you're enjoying your drive. It's a safe drive, Jill. Thank you so much for taking the time to join the podcast.
I am. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on here.
So let's start from the very beginning, because I'm curious with you, Jill. I love fan stories. I think fan stories are fantastic, and a lot of Kings fans have very unique and interesting stories of how they not just got interested in this team, but so deeply involved. And there are so many fans like you, both on social media and in the arena itself, that love this team and spend so much time around this team. Can you share a little bit of your story of how you got so into and interested in the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Sac, and my parents had season tickets when I was growing up, and so it was just a normal part of me growing up here, going to games. And then as we got a little bit older, like you were saying, during the prime and stuff like that, you know, we shared with a couple different families, and so. As I got older, it ended up mostly just being my dad and I going to games. And so that's always just been a really fun memory and something that we've been able to share growing up. And so I still share season tickets with my mom and my dad. We have three seats. And so, yeah, it's kind of just been in our family, and it's something we share with each other I'm used to them, you know, losing for the most part,
right.
But it still doesn't change my love or that one day we'll get back to those glory days. But we were really spoiled for that, you know, short while there. And that's when I was in middle school and then into high school. So those were pretty significant years in life. And it was just a fun thing that, you know, around town, everyone was doing it. With friends, I went on road trips and we go to Portland and go to games and things like that. And so, but yeah, it's just been something that's always been around in my life. And now with social media and stuff, it's crazy how interactive and how, you know, submersed into it that you can get even more so than just being a regular fan.
Yeah, and with social media, like you brought up there, Jill, you can easily seemingly get connected, not just with fellow fans, but with the team themselves, able to have interactions with players, officials, media members, all of that. You never really would have gotten that when we grew up with this team of old. Imagine if we had that connection with vintage Chris Webber or with vintage Mike Bibby back in the day. It would have been a whole nother element of excellent Kings basketball. But for me, Arco Arena, currently Sleep Train Arena, was my second home growing up as a kid. I love that building. I have always loved that building. I recognized it was necessary for an improvement. But that being said, I remember I starved myself. I made sure not to go to any preseason games. And my first ever experience inside the Golden One Center was the opening night against the San Antonio Spurs. And that was the year that the Kings were hoping to make a playoff run. And I just walked in there. I have tremendous... I have the privilege of having media access, so getting to be there with all the purple seats before tip-off and everything. So I'm curious your reaction to when you first walked into the Golden One Center and recognized, you know, I love Arco, and we came from that, and that's our history, but this is a real deal NBA arena right in downtown Sacramento.
Yeah, I actually did go to the preseason game, but, I mean, walking in, it was that feeling where... You felt like, I mean, for so long, we felt like we never were going to get there. I mean, it was always, oh, it's there. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. No, it's going to happen. No, the team's going to move. Now they're not going to move. Oh, we're actually finally building it now. So finally actually stepping into that place and seeing the signs from, you know, old Sacramento places, it was just crazy, the fact that it actually happened, that it came to fruition. There was nothing like it that opening night. I mean, the place was electric. I was born in 85, and so I, you know, wasn't around to see opening night, you know, when the Kings first came to Sacramento, and people were saying that it had that same kind of feeling. So I can only imagine for the people that got to experience, you know, both of those, how cool that would have been.
Joe, let's get into the thick of it, because we can talk about all the aesthetics and being a fan and our stories and all that stuff, but what's awesome about you is you're so deeply ingrained in this team and in this identity that you can be considered up there with us analysts, quote-unquote, because you follow this team so regularly and care so much about these players. I know you've been very vocal on social media with your opinions about where the direction that this team is headed. I know you like a lot of the young pieces. You're also questioning a lot of the moves. Ultimately, I came into this summer believing this was going to be the deciding summer of whether the Kings finally make it back to the playoffs in the near future or are waiting another 5 to 10 years. Hopefully it's not the second one, but how are you feeling overall based off of what the Kings have been able to do this summer?
I'm right with you on that, which is one of the reasons that I really hope they stick to the we're going to take the trading rules off, let the young guys go, because at some point we have to see what we have. And if we keep giving these minutes to the older guys and not forming an identity, or that they play a different style of play that these young guys can play, then to me it's going to be little steps forward. I totally get where they were coming from last year, being that we had so many young guys, but the time now is to see what we have. And so, based on the moves off of the summer, I can start with the draft. And I've been pretty vocal that my first option, but I am 100% behind him now that he's on the team.
Right.
You know, of course, I want him to succeed. But I think the big thing is how the league's being played, big men seem to be such a question mark in the league on how they're going to fit into teams. But the one thing that I do like about him is he has the tools to be a really great player, and he does fit the kind of style of play that the Kings seem to be saying that they want to play with the fast pace. Is he's crazy athletic, he can get down the court, and you're even, you know, a Duke, I think it was 39% that he shot for the three, and he showed a little bit at summer league, but I think his issue is he's kind of shooting the college three rather than maybe the NBA three, but we did see some makes, so we saw that he could actually do it. But that just brings me to guys in the league like Al Horford, who, while he was at Florida, I think he took like four total shots for three-pointers. And last year, he shot 43% for three. So we've seen guys that have completely come out with no three-point shot at all and have been able to develop it. So I think if Bagley's able to develop that shot, that will open up his play so much more. And that if he can then get out there and then actually get guys to come out on him, his quick first step, to me, it'd be hard for anyone to be able to stop him.
And I think...
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off there. I think it's a clear indication of what you said. The Kings need to be running this fast-paced, high-energy offense and really be playing fast-paced and high-energy on the defensive side of the floor as well. And this pick, it's really the only way, I guess, to defend making this choice over taking a safer pick like a Luka Doncic, who would have filled a need at the small forward position. I know there's many a Kings fan that are passionate about the Kings should have taken Doncic, and we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But ultimately, Jill, the Kings, and I think you and I both agree on this, they have to now embrace this. Training wheels have come off. We're playing fast-paced behind one of the fastest point guards in the league. So my question to you is, you're a supporter of Dave Joerger. You're a supporter of every coach that comes through here for the most part. I am a big fan of Dave Joerger as a person and as a developmental coach, but I still have question marks about, is he really buying into this style of offense, and will he build a system around the talent of his players? Where are you at with that?
I am praying that they'll follow through with what they're saying with the fast pace. And he has the reputation of trying to mold his players into a system where I think they need to just play to the strengths of these guys. When it comes to that with Bagley, is he was touted as one of the best offensive players coming into the draft.
Correct.
So I think one thing that will help him is he's fallen into defensive-minded coaches. I mean, that's all we always hear is, you know, Joerger and his staff are defense. That this should do nothing but help him, if that's genuinely really true, to be able to focus just straight on those defensive skills. And we saw bits and pieces in summer league that even when he was beat, he was athletic enough to be able to get back.
Yes.
Now, whether he can do that all the time against NBA talent, you know, that will remain to be seen. But to me, to be able to improve on the defensive side, that he landed with the perfect coaches to want, you know, to be able to make that happen.
Where are you at on Harry Giles? I mean, we all got to pile into the California Classic, and that was phenomenal.
Love.
So Harry Giles must be high on your list already right now. It seems like, seemingly, just from what we got from Summer League, the hype from last season seems to be legit. What are you looking forward to seeing from him at the NBA level next season?
He was, to me, definitely the most impressive during Summer League. He was all over the court. He was consistent. He showed the shooting touch. When he was shooting from the elbow there, he was reminding me of the old Chris Webber days. He was getting rebounds. He was actually showing, you know, the passing that we heard about so much last year during practice. But I have to say what actually, out of everything, impressed me the most about him was his defense, as I wasn't expecting that. But he was all over the court. He had his hands in the passing lanes. He was blocking shots. He looked like a guy who really paid attention on the bench last year. You know, that to me, as a rookie coming out, and physically, you know, we heard that he could have played, but they were sitting and being cautious and building his muscle and stuff back up. But that easily could still, you know, mess with a guy's head. that you're sitting on the bench and you're practicing, but you're still watching these guys out there night in, night out. But it just in, at least in those games, he looked like a high IQ guy, and that he was taking to heart, you know, things that he was learning last year on the bench. And with his one-on-one time with Vince Carter and things like that, he was making moves that we saw clips of, you know, that Vince was working on with him pregame and postgame and things like that. So you could see things that he implemented in the game just based on, you know, clips that we saw from practice. But to me, it seems like the sky's the limit for that kid if he can stay healthy and just keep improving. His handles, too, I mean, were crazy. He was just a lot of fun, and, sky's the limit for that kid, it seems like.
So one thing that's cool, you mentioned the social media aspect of sports now and a way to follow sports and get connected. One thing that's cool that I've been following that you and a group of Kings fans have been doing is everybody knows or should know about Fortnite, the video game, this game that has taken over the world, taken over pop culture, and athletes everywhere are playing it. Another athlete that we know and love that has been taking part in Fortnite is our very own Jack Cooley, who became a fan favorite almost instantly from his play in Summer League last year. Jill, you are one of the people that gets to play Fortnite with this group called the Sac X-Men, I think it's called, with Jack Cooley.
Yes.
Share how you got connected with that and how cool it is for you to be able to play video games with some of your favorite athletes.
How it came about was totally cool and totally random at the same thing, but that's one of the beautiful things that we've seen about what can happen on Twitter. But yeah, no, there's just a group of us that have, you know, or at least have played. Some of them have played for a while. I kind of just started within the last couple months. But he's always been pretty vocal about playing video games, and he responds to, you know, most of us when we mention him or when we talk on social media. He's very interactive. And so on just one of the days, we told him, hey, our group was getting together. Would you want to play? And he said yes. I mean, it was honestly as simple as that. And
yep.
So for some of the guys, I think they played for like 5 hours. I played with them for almost three when we first started doing it. It was crazy, and he's just as much fun as you can imagine, and as cool as you know, we all had hoped and thought that he would be. It was just a blast. And he's very chill about it, you know. He definitely carries our team.
Huh.
And this last week, he sent us a message and said that during his off time, because he was playing in that tournament for Jimmer, that he was trying to think of a team name for us. And so that was totally cool. I mean, the fact that in his off time, he's thinking of team names for our group.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought of the Averagers and the X-Mays. And so, because we're just kind of meh, you know, when we play, we're not all that great. And so we have just kind of developed this thing where we started a Twitter account, and we talk Kings and other sports-related topics. And, we put it on Twitch so people can watch it. And, it's just this totally fun, random thing that came about. And, you know, getting to play, you know, random games with athletes that you never thought you would necessarily interact with is pretty damn cool.
You know, what you have to love, Jill, about both Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley is that they always seem to create their own energy and play with a lot of hustle and a lot of passion. You know, you can make a lot of excuses for this Kings team next year, whether the Western Conference has gotten better or they're still a young team, they're still growing. But one thing I should never be able to question is their hustle and their energy and their effort. That's something I expect from all of them on both ends of the floor on a nightly basis. And there's I guess you could consider him a veteran on this team that fits that mold perfectly. And some fans are starting to sour on him. That's Willie Cauley-Stein. He got a great endorsement from Kevin Durant and CJ McCollum and CJ's podcast not too long ago. But I'm still high on Willie Cauley-Stein as long as he can give me consistency on both ends of the floor. Where are you at with Willie?
I'm with you. And this is a big year for him. I mean, this is the year where he has to show, if he wants to get paid, that he's got to be consistent and he's got to stay out of his head with his, you know, finger phobias, which I totally get. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think that these, between Giles and Bagley, that they could be good pieces playing the stretch four, depending on if they play in the three or four. But I'm still high on Willie. He shows how athletic he is. And when he's on, you can see everything that we hoped he would be. It's just getting him to do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Where I'm scared to pay him all that money if by the end of the season he's still not doing, you know, being consistent all the time.
Last thing for you, Jill. I know you put this out on your Twitter account earlier here today. You asked fans to send you their ideal or their projected opening night starting lineup. If you were to give me, assuming this roster stays the same, I don't think that's going to be the case. I still think we have a move or two coming from these Kings, or at least I hope so, with the amount of front court players that they have. But assuming this is the roster that they go into next season with, what is your ideal starting five on opening night and consistent starting five for this team?
My desired starting five would be Fox, Buddy, Bogey, Bagley, and Willie. My expected, I think Jackson and either one of Bagley or Zebo, depending on how serious they're really going to be and what they say. Mm-hmm. And then Willie, Yogi, to be the starting backup. I think this could be good for Frank and make him step up. But right now, I think Yogi's the better player. And then whether you start Bogey and have Buddy come off the bench, I'm fine with either one of those. And then Bielitsa, Giles, and I don't see them not at least playing one veteran. And if they're going to pick one, I wouldn't mind it being Costa. I don't know if they consider Scal a veteran at this point. The only bad thing is if you do play Zebo or Costa, that means one of Giles, Bagley, or Scal is going to be the odd man out. And yeah, if that's the case, you would imagine that it would be Scal. So there's a lot of possibilities if all these big men stay. But I'm going to be pissed if they're still starting Zebo. And, I mean, I'd rather see what Scal has if you're going to start someone and it not be Bagley or Giles. Then see Zebo out there. So, I mean, I'm scared of what they're going to do because we've seen a lot of times them say one thing and do another. But my desired one is Fox, Buddy, Bogey, Bagley, and Willie with Giles and Costa coming off the bench for the big men.
Yeah, you're in my desired starting lineups are spot on. I think we're spot on almost everything that we've discussed here today. Thank you, Jill, so much for taking the time on your drive. Enjoy Tahoe, and we will see you back soon in the Golden One Center for Kings basketball. It can't come soon enough.
Thank you.
Jill is fantastic. Thank you so much to her for taking the time. We will definitely have her back on, especially around the start of the season. She's going to be a fun one to keep conversation with. And again, if you want to be like Jill, if you are a Sacramento Kings super fan and you have a knowledge of this team and you said, you know what, Matt, I can do your job just as well as you can. Why don't you prove it? Email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com or tweet me at MattGeorgeKHTK. We can schedule trying to get you onto this show. You can share your stories. You can share really anything that you want, your opinions on this this offseason. We'll go through all of that. Jill was fantastic. I know you will be too. There are so many. There are hundreds of thousands of you dedicated Kings fans out there that have a big, major knowledge of Sacramento Kings basketball, and I would love to invite you onto the podcast and get involved with you and speak with you there. My thanks again to Jill for taking the time and sharing her knowledge with us. Before we wrap up this podcast, though, I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, I sent out some feelers after the ESPN, after ESPN released their win projections and pegged the Kings at 25. I threw out feelers of what Kings fans would classify as successful season. We've done that a little bit before, but I kind of played with this 25 win total. So I threw out four scenarios and asked for fans to pick one of them. You can either respond to this tweet right now on my Twitter, or you can email it to me, or just respond via any facet you want that you can get in touch with me. Also, I'm on Facebook as well. But pick one of these four scenarios. Scenario A, the Sacramento Kings win 34-plus games. That's more than they ever won with DeMarcus Cousins on the roster, but they use a steady dose of veterans. So we're seeing a significant amount of minutes for Zach Randolph, who's still one of the top leading scorers for the Kings. We're seeing Kosta Koufos and Iman Shumpert playing a lot. So the Kings win more games than they've ever won with DeMarcus Cousins, and the young guys are still playing. However, there's a steady, large dose of veteran minutes in there, kind of true to Jaeger's systems in the past. That's scenario A. Scenario B, the Kings win 28 to 30 games with max minutes for their young players. So we're talking Bogey, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, all these guys playing 35 plus minutes a night, and the Kings win around 28 to 30 games. Option C, Kings win only 25 to 27 games, but De'Aaron Fox shows star potential. By the end of this season, we know De'Aaron Fox can be a star in this league, but the Kings only win 25 to 27 games. Oh, but they're also competitive on a nightly basis. That's important too. And finally, option scenario D, Kings win 25 to 30 games and they trade for a late first round pick. So I threw that one in there as well because I want to gauge how important fans think having a 2019 first rounder will be. So option A, B, C, and D, I'll run through them really quick one more time. Option A, Kings win 34 plus games but with a steady dose of vets. Option B, Kings win 28 to 30 games with max minutes for young players. Option C, Kings win 25 to 27 games but Fox shows star potential. And option D, Kings win 25 to 30 games and trade for a late first rounder. Send me which one of those scenarios you like the best. Some are trying to send me a combination of them. I'm not doing that. Send me one of those four scenarios that you like best and why on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, and we'll revisit those and more in the coming weeks. On Wednesday's podcast, I'm super fired up and excited about this one. A friend of mine, someone I've looked up to and listened since I was a kid, one of the reasons why I'm in this industry and I do what I do, it is the G-Man, Gary Gerald, the radio voice, longtime radio voice, and broadcaster of the Sacramento Kings. He is going to be joining me on Wednesday's podcast. He's going to share all his thoughts on Summer League, on the Kings draft, Marvin Bagley, the California Classic, what the Kings are trying to do. G-Man has such a wealth of knowledge that anytime you can get him onto your program and just listen to him talk for 5 minutes, you're going to learn something and you're going to maybe not feel more confident about what the Kings are doing, but you're going to have a better understanding of what they are trying to do. G-Man's going to break that all down and join us on Wednesday's podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. Send me one of those four scenarios and send me your stories if you want to be on this podcast. We're going to work it out. We'll do some fan episodes here in late August and early September. So hit me up. Let me know. You know how to get in contact with me. I've thrown it out a number of times. I look forward to hearing from you and speaking with you more in detail. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.